Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio. I love that woman, but
let's kick it off with our intro music.
Run away, blowing smoke. You folks are worried and going broke. Happy Fall is an all-new episode. Reality is the housing reality that comes from above. Goodbye to the cord, there's no bigger love. Here's reality, we're welcome to fight. Trust and obey, there is no other way.
Welcome to the show. Where else can you listen to Big Brother House Guests, Survivor Castaways, and the Amazing Racer Racers? That's right, here at the Rad Reality Show Network, and we have so many other guests.
But let's kick it off with our theme song for usually Thursday night, especially during Survivor's time of the year, and you know what it is. Welcome to the show, everyone. Tonight we're going to be talking about Survivor. If you guys have a question on Survivor, you guys can call in 347-237-5506. Let's have a great show, guys.
Welcome to the Rad Reality Show Network and the Survivor Caramon Roundtable Show, hosted by Travis Sampson from Survivor Vanuatu, who is also very lovingly known as Bubba. He's an incredible host, but tonight he's got an amazing surprise we'll hear from in just a little while. But first, let's cover a little detail and share a little info for anyone that might be a first-time listener tonight. Tonight is February 21st, 2013. My name is Cherry Garcia, and on air with me is Mr. Paul from Minnesota. We'll be your co-host tonight. And we invite you to call in and join us on the show by dialing 1-347-237-5506. And when you do, press the number 1 key to let us know that you'd like to join us on air. And you can also join us in our chat room on the Blog Talk Radio page, and you can post questions and comments there as well. Paul, we've had a horrible snow and ice storm here in St. Louis today. And so it's just been sort of a crappy day here. How are you doing up there in Minnesota?
Hi, Cherry. Hi, everybody. It is expected to move into southern Minnesota, well, Minneapolis area, around midnight. And we're on the northern edge, and we'll probably get maybe 3 inches of snow where I live in the northern metro down near the Iowa border. Maybe 6 to 8 inches, but fortunately, it's all in the form of snow. And I was watching the weather and saw where southern St. Louis, where you're at, was getting a lot of the freezing stuff. And I would rather have 6-8 inches of snow than get the freezing rain and the drizzle, you know?
Yeah, I just went outside a little while ago, and there's like a layer of ice, and then a good amount of snow, and then a hard layer of sleet on top of the snow. And it's just crunch out there. You can hear people all around sliding, and just it must be horrible driving in the stuff.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be out there in it.
I did see some of the towns on the Weather Channel. Oh, first of all, welcome Winter Storm Q. I revolt. I really revolt on this. But at any rate, I saw where some places were getting like a half an inch of freezing rain. But it doesn't sound like you've gotten that much. When that happens, obviously, that's when you get power lines coming down and trees coming down and all that type of thing. So it looks
you've heard from my cousin Rhonda. I do know that her parents are without power. I don't know about Rhonda and her husband. I know that they don't live too far from their parents. And I have not been in touch with her, but I do know that her parents are without power. Southern Missouri got much more ice than we did, and they are in that situation where they have many power lines down, trees down, due to the weight of the ice that they received. So, it's bad down there. So,
well, I want to share with our listeners a couple of some good news, some joyous
news.
We need to make
this quick because we have a special call on the switchboard that we need to pick up really quickly. So,
all right. My middle nephew on Tuesday, he and his partner had delivery of twin babies.
Aww.
One girl and one boy. Olivia Kay was the girl, and Anders Reed was the boy. Just 2.5 weeks premature, so everything is fine. They'll probably leave the hospital in maybe a week and a half, but that was joyous news for my family. So I wanted
to
share.
How adorable. Congratulations, Paul. Twins are amazing. That is joyous news. I love the names, too.
I do, too. That's why I gave them. I really do.
That's great. Well, I'm sorry that Travis isn't here yet to welcome them on, but I don't want to keep them holding.
I agree.
So I'm going to go ahead and bring this caller up because this is Travis's surprise guest, and I don't know how long they have. So I'm going to go ahead and bring them up and get them on air, and I'm sure Travis will be joining us shortly. So let's do this.
Yeah.
Mary and David, you're going to be introducing our surprise guest. How are you, Mary and David?
We are doing great.
Good.
Travis
How are
is
you
not
all?
With us yet. We're
yeah,
doing
like
great.
Bubba, be late. That's okay, Bubba. We love you. But we do have a surprise guest on the phone right now. He's not going to speak until we tell you. I hope the world is happy because I love this man with my whole heart. Got
and this is somebody from Survivor Caramon, right?
He is on season right now, and I want the world to back him. So
wonderful.
We are going to introduce Brandon Hance.
What's up, guys?
Brandon, how are you?
I'm doing good. Doing good.
Thank you for joining us tonight.
It's no problem.
He's getting ready to be a new daddy.
I understand. How far along is she? When is the expected date?
I believe the 28th of May. 28th of May.
May
28th.
Wow.
Yeah. I think he better slow down.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
He's
going to
be.
We might stop now or four. We just don't know yet.
We got four, honey. It's okay because you love him more and more.
Yeah, that's right.
But,
to
my understanding,
oh, go ahead.
You're having a little girl.
Yeah, Abigail
Aww.
May. What's her name?
Abigail May.
Yeah.
Aw.
Yeah.
Abigail May. That's beautiful.
They say three's a crowd, four's a handful.
My handful is pretty fun. We got four, honey. Don't stop if you want to keep going.
Let's
I want to see if you think that maybe you're going to be a new daddy due to being on the island for a long time.
Yeah, well, I came home and it, you know.
Yeah.
All ready to go.
So, Brandon, my understanding that you can talk to us about anything that has happened up to what happened that we saw last night. And so,
Brandon,
we can talk about.
Let's just go with that.
Okay.
Yeah, we can talk about the first couple of shows and anything that happened up through last night, and then you can join us again as often as you like. You know, you're always welcome here, and talk about the season as it goes.
And
he said, as long as you guys promote him.
Well,
as long as you guys promote Enhanced and stuff like that. This is a favor from my friends Mary and David for sure. I'll do anything for those guys.
Thanks.
Well, let's bring up the host of our show, and of course, we have his theme song, but since we've already got his guest on air, let's go ahead and skip that and just bring him right on air with us. Bubba, thank you so much for being here with us tonight. How are you?
I'm doing good. Right now, I'm drying dishes, helping my wife, so I got a multitask, you know, busy family, you know what I'm saying?
Well, we certainly understand that.
Yeah.
Bubba, we all know you're whipped.
No. I think it's great that he helps his wife.
He has.
Yeah. Oh, dude, it's all about harmony.
That's right.
I'm whipped too,
so,
Bubba.
Bubba, we have Mary and David Conley from The Amazing Race, and they brought with them, of course, Brandon Hance from Survivor Caramon, and he is able to talk about anything up through last night's episode. And I'm just excited that he's here and able to talk to us. We don't often get current survivors with us during the season, so I'm excited to have a current survivor with us. And I'm sure you have lots to talk about after last night's episode. So where would you like to start?
Who are we talking to?
Brandon.
I don't know. I'm just answering questions. Y'all can go ahead.
Okay, Brandon, I've got a question.
Uh-huh.
Up to this point, what has been your hardest part of being on this island at this time?
Dylan or Phillip.
Let's take Phillip out. Is the island hot? Is it weathery? Or is it paradise like they seem to show it?
It's pretty rough. Rough. It's hot as hell. I mean, daytime's hot. In the nighttime, it's freezing. And, you know, it's just, it sucks. The Philippines suck. Love all the Filipinians or whatever you call them, but that place is just hell when it comes to. And I live in Texas. I mean, that's heaven, you know. That was a rough place to live, man.
Do you have
a
snow right now?
I got a question.
Snow?
It might have been a stupid question, but it snowed in the desert, so figured maybe it snowed in Texas.
Did it really?
Yes, Arizona, honey.
Holy crap. Hell is freezing over.
Well, Brandon, I got a question, and the reason I'm asking this question is because it's something when I played the game that I went through, and it's really hard.
Okay.
You know, I know you're a believer, so I'm going to ask
Absolutely.
You this. There are times that you have to be passive. But there's times you have to stand up, because we're supposed to be Christ-like. There's times you got to stand up and be the Lion of Judea.
Yes, sir.
Is it hard for you to hold that line back on some of them people?
See, this is the thing, man.
Dude, there's especially the fans, on the fan side. I've got to agree with Dave on this now. Last week I kind of wondered, but that Marine – I can see some people getting there kind of antsy, and I see Phillip stirring the pot, and it's just sometimes it's hard to keep your, you know, self in check and play the game. And up to this point in this game, how are you feeling at this point from what we see in this episode? Is it stewing? Is it brewing? Is it what?
Well, at this very moment, it's I want to do the right thing, obviously, you know, but I don't want to be played again. So that's in my mind. That's what I'm thinking. I want to do the right thing. I don't want to be played again. I'm making mental images of what I'm going to do if I do explode, and I don't know what I'm going to do. So it's up in the air. It's like, am I going to do good? Am I going to do bad? And my bad nature is nothing that nobody's got to see from the past season of Survivor. They saw the good-natured Brandon, the guy who, you know, will fall on his sword for you. And then there's another guy that will stab your ass.
That's right.
With that same sword, you know. So that's pretty much where I'm at. And you know, it's we'll see what happens, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah.
Brandon, a lot of people's on your side, because I've even told people, if I met Philip at a reality event, I'm not going to say anything to him because we're there for charity. But
yeah,
I could not live on an island with Philip.
I'm sure
I could live with you for life, honey.
Yeah, I appreciate it, babe. I'm sure. Sorry about that, babe. But I'm sure
you can have her.
You wouldn't want me.
I'm sure he's all right, you know, in real life. I still probably wouldn't like him, but I just you know, as of right now, the way things set, he's coming off as a big bully, you know, and I'm not the type of guy to get bullied. I mean, what happened last season with Coach was really good manipulation and strategy. It wasn't blatant, hey, shut your mouth, this is the way things are going to go, your name is the Avengers. You know, that's not how Coach rolled. I have more respect for the way Coach played, in a way, than for the way thus far him up his plan. So, you know, like I said, it's just one of those things. I'm on the fence about what I'm going to do.
I got a question for you here.
When you have Philip in the game, how much do you think is Philip, and how much do you think is show? Do you think with his strategy being out there, Philip may say, I don't know how long I'm going to make it in the game, so I'm going to make as good a TV as I can so people remember me because I got a book out.
Yeah. I think that's it. I don't think anything's real. I think I'm one of the very few survivors who played, who actually played with true feelings and not, you know, went with what the camera was going for and all that stuff. That's not how I was playing. So, I don't understand people like that who just do something just to, you know. So yeah, it's frustrating. But yeah, I think it's about 90% bullshit and 10% bullshit. So about 100%. You know.
Let me ask you a question here. Okay, it seems like from the first two episodes that you and Eric are on the outs, and from your past seasons, Eric made it a long way, and he's one of my favorites, you know. And then
I love Eric, man. He's a great guy.
And then you come along, and you're passed down from Russell. You're the good side of Russell, and everybody loves you. So do you and Eric not feel like you're like on the outs?
Well, you know they do.
Well, I know they do, but don't y'all feel like you could, at this point, change the game and?
Well, that's the plan. I mean, as of right now, it's and, you know, like you've seen, I went to Eric and I said, hey, you know, I'm tired of this. I'm fed up with this shit. You know, just like that. I don't want to be, you know. This is ridiculous. You know, like, pretty much, we're on our way out anyway. Let's make havoc. And that's what I told him. And, you know, right now we're making a decision of what's going to happen. Him, you know, he obviously wants to play. There you go, but he wants to play his own game, I'm sure, at this point in his mind. Me and Eric
we're real close at this point. We hit it off day one. We were on the outs together day one. And as of right now, we're still on the outs together. So, like I said, it's a toss-up. And I might be a little surprised.
Wow. I'm anxious to see what happens. I know that you're going in with a different attitude than you had on the previous Survivor. And
well, to be honest with you, I've not gone in the game. See, like I told you before, I don't play the game. I do me, you know. My downfall with Survivor. I do me. And I didn't just go into the game a different person. I'm different in life now. Ain't nobody going to fuck with me like they used to. Excuse my French. So that's how I am because, as I'm sure Bubba knows, you get a lot of shit from this, you know?
Yeah.
And you get a lot of – I went through a separation. You know, I gave a lot to Survivor. And that's my stupidity. You know, I gave a lot to all kinds of things come into factor. I mean, it changes you in a way. And it really does. It makes you – and some people come out of it bitter. Some people come out of it stronger. Some people come out of it – I've chosen to come out of it a lot stronger, a lot more icebox-like. You know, I said in an interview, pregame interview, I said I feel like an icebox. It's because, you know, I've always gave people the benefit of the doubt. You know, and as I watched in torture of the way that I was being taken advantage of, I honestly, wholeheartedly wanted to do the right thing. And to watch the way that it's human nature, but it sucks, you know, watch the way that people would take advantage of somebody doing something with a genuine heart. I kind of want to be my own vindicator. I know that's not right and that's not biblical, but, you know.
Well, Brandon, when you say it's not biblical, the Lord says, "Vengeance is mine."
Absolutely.
And you just need to be all about your Father's work, if you feel what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
Okay, my thing is...
That's one of them loopholes we got, huh?
That's right, baby.
You're crazy. But my thing is, now I can see why you and Eric are bonding so much.
Yeah, he got screwed.
Okay, I can
bad. See
that, like, major
we
now.
We both talked, and first day was like, hey, man, you got screwed, I got screwed, you know, let's not get screwed together this time, you know. And that's pretty much it. That's where we're at right now. We're just confused and trying to figure what's going on. We see that Phillip's running the show. Unbelievably, in my mind, you would never have guessed in a million years that somebody mentally disabled would be in control of anything, let alone know how to tie his own shoes or put on his pink underwear. So, you know, it's just...
I don't believe he washed them.
Wore slip-ons.
I believe it was the same ones and he never washed them.
I'm sure for some voodoo purpose or whatever he got going on with his feathers and all that crap. But,
hey, Brandon.
What's up?
Hey, Brandon, it's Paul. At the beginning of last night's episode, we did see how upset you were about Francesca and what a great person you thought she was. We didn't get to see that you had spent that much time and gotten to know her from the edits. Had you known her prior to meeting her this time?
Yeah, I mean, everybody, we're a big family. It's like, you know, you get to meet people over the year and, you know, over the year that I played, and she was a good friend of Russell's. We went out and had dinner. My finale, my actual finale, she took me out to dinner. She's a sweet woman, you know. I was sad, you know, and I saw how a genuine person was being taken advantage of, and I looked at that, and I said, that's not right. I said, I'm not going to have nothing to do with it, you know. I don't care who you are. I don't care your cocker. At this point in my mind, cocker is worthless. In my mind, as far as a Survivor's going at this point in time, from what you've seen, in my mind, I'm going, well, you know, vote out the weakest link. You stand all of us in a row. It's going to be me,
Malcolm, Eric, and Francesca. That are the toughest out there. And Andrea, she's pretty tough too. Okay, everybody else, you know, they're cool, you know. Then it goes Cochran. He's below everybody. I mean, Brenda could smash him. Okay, that's saying something.
Brenda.
Francesca would blow him up, like into a bunch of little red pieces. You know, so that's confusing to me. And I'm sure it's confusing to a lot of people. Like, why would you vote out your strongest girl? Not only that, a girl who could, you know, smash one of the guys out there. And it's kind of pathetic to me. And it was kind of sad that they got to go along with it and, you know, not have a mind of their own and allow somebody like Philip to control the way that they think. But first, I don't know. Like I said, at this point, I'm thinking maybe there's some kind of strategy to this, but it's not looking good thus far.
Well, I think, and it's just from me meeting Francesca and talking to her, so that they probably saw her as a threat strategically. She is a very
and
smart lady.
And big time. She's a big girl.
Yeah, she is very intelligent.
Mm-hmm. She's very intelligent. Very, very intelligent. Very sweet, too. She really had, she's a mama. I called her my mama out there. She was she was on farmless. She was, they took away my mama out there. And you don't fuck with my mama. That's my motto.
That's right.
So, that's pretty much how it works.
Do you not think that some people think that if they took Cochran to the end, that it would be easy to beat him, though? I mean, wouldn't you think it would be easy to beat him in a challenge?
I don't know.
To carry him along?
That's just like, I don't know. It's a hard question to answer. I don't want to make, decisions up for them. But for me, I don't deal with people like that.
You wouldn't go along with carrying somebody along? Just
David has answered it, Doc.
Okay.
All right. This is a good question that you brought up, Bubba and Brandon. There always is a time in that game where you look at who you can beat at the end, but this seems awfully early to do that. Am I incorrect or?
No, you're very correct. Right now,
when
you want to win
challenges. Come out there. Yeah, you go out there and you're not thinking about the end of the game. You're thinking about, or at least I'm not. I'm thinking about, hey, let's get past these challenges. Let's worry about game strategy when everybody has a choice. You get knocked out in challenges. If we are to lose these next challenges, it's whoever wins or loses these next challenges, that's gonna make the people at the end of the game right there. You're gonna have that makes up your final people. And then
right, that's your controlling factor.
Yeah, it's a control thing, and as you see in other things in my tribe, Bopola, we dominated and we took over, and we just completely knocked everybody out one by one by one. Then Boston Rob before that did the same thing. It's no fun to watch, but it's the smartest way to play the game if you want to make it to the end. Is having your strong survive. And the strongest, one of the strongest players, physically, mentally, in every way, was just voted out. You know?
Yeah, Survivor is a numbers game. And you have to have those numbers to survive on Survivor, at least until you get to that individual gameplay. And
I'll tell you what I've noticed through the years is when you look at teams, you can have a team that says, say you got a team of eight. They got four strong guys and four girls that are not so strong. Then you can take another team and they can have four average guys and four strong girls, and that team will dominate. It seems like, you know, if you've got strong women on your team, guys can kind of balance out, but then they're going to come up. So what I'm saying, it's better to have good people across the board, you know, just above average, than to have, you know, four superstars and four that's not. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Well, women, the cattiness of women on a team can certainly be a downfall. If the women on the team can't get along and there's a lot of cattiness on a team, I can see that as being a real detriment to a team. But then that can also go for the guys. I mean, we're seeing right now where some of the guys are not getting along, and that's also a detriment. You know, if people can't get along, no matter who they are, if they can't get along and there's inner turmoil within the team, I think that's going to be a downfall.
For me, I can't stand, and hear me when I say this, I can't stand little girls and little boys that are supposed to be men and women, you know.
And it does bring them out, being out there.
Hell yeah, son. Because I'm 21 years old. I've been married for 4 years. My fourth year will be May 15th of this year. And I've never in my life seen so many, even on the Game of Survivor, seen so many grown-ass people act like little boys and little girls. I can't stand it.
Yep.
Be grown-ups, man. Be grown-ass people. You can be entertaining. You can be funny. You can do what you do. But be an adult about it. Giving people names up to this point is not something that I see as an adult thing. It shows me, in my mind, I'm thinking that's disrespectful. And Coach never showed me that disrespect to my face. And if he would have, I'd have a problem with it.
Hey, had a problem. Brandon, you talk about your age and maturity and that type of thing. And your dad, Sean, was on with us on Monday on our show, and he brought up how much you have changed and matured since your first season. Do you feel that? While you're on this season, do you feel like you've grown up, if you want to use that term?
Yeah, man. To me, little kids are easily, you know, I felt like a little kid out there. You know, I felt like I was watching, you know, a 19-year-old kid. I just turned 19 years old. I've grown up with Survivor. You know, you realize how much, I know Bubba knows how much you grow up from when you're 19 to when you turn 20. And then even a year, every year, things start to get different. Your eyes start to open up a little bit more. Even just life experience and life, you know, living life. I definitely grown up a lot. In some areas, you know, as you can see, I want more consistency is the thing that I've had a hard time with my whole life. Consistency with my walk with Christ. Consistency with, you know, what I want to do when I grow up. I'm still thinking about being a space guy, one of the guys who go up to space. You know, I don't know what I'm gonna do yet, so I'm still thinking about that. So I'm real, you know, I might be an astronaut, you know, who knows? So and in my mind, I don't, you know, I'm still figuring these things out. So, you know, that's what things I had to work on. And at that point in time in the game, you know, when I went to Cochran and opened up and said, look, I don't want to do this, you know, but I'm thinking about it. I thought about it. And that's a decision that, you know, I'll have to make.
I have a question, Brandon. How is it that they always find the coolest spot for Cochran to give his testimonials? How does he get these chairs, these royal places to give his testimonials? It looks like he has
they're trying to make a little bitty dude into being this, you know, mastermind guy, you know, this king of the island. He laid up until this
Am
point,
I right?
He laid there. I mean, look, this is the way that I think about it. The guy, Lord help him, doesn't look good, okay? Okay.
Does anybody else get to sit in that thing that he sits in to give their testimonials?
Yes,
he's been bullied his whole life. He's been tortured because of the way that he has to look in the mirror every day.
And just this is what I'm reading from him, just to being so non-confident. He's just not confident. The guy, I'm sure he's smart as hell. I've never, you know, questioned that. I'm just great. As far as confidence in the real world and confidence, street confidence, and that, you know, how to conduct yourself, he has no swagger to him whatsoever. So I'm glad that they're helping the guy out. I mean, he's got a rough road ahead of him in his personal life in general. He's got to figure out who the fuck's going to marry him one day. So this is good for him, you know. Help him out as much as possible when it comes to his image, you know.
Well, we did see in the first episode that he looked like he was getting pretty bad sunburn. They don't provide you any sunscreen or anything?
It's Survivor.
It's Survivor.
I mean, if you got to go put sunscreen on out there, you probably shouldn't be doing that. I mean, I've never put sunscreen on, and I've never been offered sunscreen. So,
okay. Because I have fair skin, I had to take, water and put just a light coat of mud.
Provide you with sunscreen either, Bubba.
No. We got a pot, and we got a machete. That's it. We didn't get rice. We didn't get beans. Got a pot.
You didn't get that Sears toolkit?
No.
It's not at this point in time in my mind. It's not about how cold it is or how hot it is or how. To me, right now, in my mind, I'm just letting y'all know. In my mind, I feel like I'm being pushed against the corner. Whether y'all see it or not, but don't push me. I'm small enough already. You know, don't push me up against the corner like that. I mean, I'm a real claustrophobic guy, literally and figuratively in every way. I am very claustrophobic. When I feel like I'm verbally attacked, I feel like I got, you know, I'm being, you know, smothered. So let's just keep in mind that little Hans is feeling really, really smothered right now.
Well, you said you were small. Dude, your shoulders is about as wide as you are tall, dude. It's obvious you've been in the weight room a while.
All my family are, aside from Russell, all my family are big people. You guys understand, y'all got the two smallest Hanses there are. My little brother is 6'4", 300 pounds, solid. My dad, as everybody knows, is a stout guy himself, and he's 5'11". My Uncle Willie, he's 5'11", and he's stout, too. I mean, we're all, you know, my Uncle Brian, that's a big bastard. You know, we all are broad guys, but me and Russell, man, he swears he's about a half a centimeter taller than me, but I don't care. He can have that half a centimeter. You know?
Sorry. You're saying you're not a cool kid.
What's that?
Well, the other tribe has got all these cool kids. Can you tell us a little bit about the favorites, so far?
Have you even got to meet them at this point?
Or just the challenges?
No. I mean, from what I understand, I can tell you from what I understand, I think when your boy, what's that dude's name? He's a firefighter.
Oh, I don't like him. He's with Reynolds.
Yeah, he's a firefighter. He's a pretty boy. He thinks he's all. I mean, he's ripped.
Right. He thinks he's the prettiest guy on the island.
But when it comes to getting manhandled by a 5-foot, half Mexican, half Cajun, that's something he can't deal with. You know, I love people like that that think, you know, they got something. You know, he was looking at me in that first challenge like this is gonna be easy, and I whooped his ass. There was two rounds of that. One of those you guys didn't get to see. So, you know,
well,
it's just one of those rose and salt and wounds, huh?
I love those kind of challenges. They scare me a little bit, too, but they're kind of, for a viewer, they're fun to watch. But when you talked about Francesca being strong, that's the first thing I thought about, how she kicked butt when you had that first challenge.
Yeah. Yeah, she's amazing, man. She's strong. In every way, I have mad respect for Franny. Much love to you, Franny.
How agree with you on that. Back to the fans, I have to ask you, when you watched it last night, what did you think about the tribal and Reynolds showing his hidden immunity idol to everybody?
Man, it's shit. To each his own, I guess. I'm kind of bold like that, so I can't say much about it. I'd have swung it all up in their face. You know, at this point, if I'd have had one, I'd have been like, gotcha, bitches. So, you know. You know.
He had tears in his eyes though, when she went home. I mean, he was literally about to cry.
Somebody who says, hey, she's okay looking. She's not the best or the worst. I don't know why he was crying about it. So.
Oh, I mean, she's one of the hottest things on this island.
Yeah, so I don't know what was going through his head, but it looks like they made a good relationship. I don't know him too well to make any judgments on him, and I'm sure wouldn't have meshed, but I could, you know, there's not too many people that would have too much respect for me. That's what I've had problems with in life in general, because when you look at me, until you get to know me like Mary, David, Bubba, you know,
and Cherry.
You don't really get to see. Cherry. And you don't get to see, you know, the type of guy I am. I love anybody, man. I don't care who you are, what you've done. You know, you always have a place in my life. You know, if we're all gravy and, you know, nothing's, no harm's my family or anything like that, I don't have a problem with you. You know, easy dude to get along with. But a lot of people have this attitude of they're better, you know. I might not be, it's not a little man syndrome or anything like that. It's a, you know, because I'm pretty confident physically. But as far as, you know, just looking at me, you know, my tattoos, the way that I look, the way that I had to grow up, I didn't have a choice, you know, to grow up the way that I did. And, you know, I had to, most of these tattoos come from tattoos that I acquired as a very, very, very young kid, you know. So I don't know, man. But I've adopted the like of, you know, the like of the cover-ups and stuff like that and get more. But, you know, people just, they find things to not like about. I'm not the smartest guy in the world with my words, unless we're talking the Bible, you know. Other than that, you know, I probably sound really uneducated. But, you know, it's just people like to, think down and think the most negative thing sometimes, and kind of sucks.
We did have somebody in our chat room on Monday night, Michelle from the Bronx, who was curious about your tats and your sleeves. Is there any significance to the kind of tattoos you've gotten, or just they look cool?
Well, I got a Confederate flag on my chest. I'm from the South, obviously. I'm proud to be from the South. As far as, you know, a lot of the tattoos, it's just I like. I like tigers, so I was like, hey, I could either be a tiger or a zebra. One day I could say, hey, these are tiger stripes. One day these could be zebra stripes. You never know. And then snakes, for me, it's that snake that I got wrapped around my back. It's kind of a big deal to me because, I don't know, it's kind of badass, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of got this, you might want to fuck with that guy, you know? Other than that, you know, the Samoan tattoo I got on the season, South Pacific, that's big, you know? But, yeah, I'll just keep getting them, and I love tattoos, man. They just...
Yeah, and I know your dad loves them. I know your dad loves them, too. Just kidding.
Thanks. Yeah, we heard about how much your dad loves them. Not.
Well, I respect my dad's thoughts on anything about me, but like I'm going to have to do with my son, he makes his own decisions at a point in his life. And I'll take advice and wisdom and, you know, from anybody older than me or younger than me. You know, I'm not too good for that. But I definitely don't like somebody telling me what I can and can't do to me, you know,
because this is something interesting. And Dad's real good about that now. At first, he was, the first day, I believe, 12 or 13 years old, I came home with a tattoo, and it was gang-related. So I'm sure, I don't know how he felt. I know I'd be pissed as hell if my little son came home like that. And he was very disappointed, and I was always into making my daddy happy. You know, I wanted that meant the world to me. It was like God for me. You know, if my dad was happy in sports, in school, in anything with me. You know, sometimes I felt like if I was bullied in school, which is often occasion, when I whooped their ass, when I came home telling Dad, this dude bullied me, and I beat the hell out of him. See him smile was a big deal for me, you know. So it was. He's doing a lot better, but he's being cool about it. He when he sees them now, he wants to make sure they're, you know, nice and professionally lined up. So I get a. Other than that,
Brandon, to me, I know you, and you've got a really big heart, and in this game of Survivor. Watching Russell, it seemed like he was heartless. Do you think that if you was just somebody asked you how would you play the game, would you tell them to take your heart out of Survivor to play the game?
No, man, just do you. I mean, at my point in my life, at that point to where you see now, I want to be heartless. I'm getting to that point. I don't know. Should I not? I'm almost there. I can feel it. I'm starting to say it. I'm starting to think about it. I'm starting to be like, you know what? Should I not? So I'm still at that point. But these are real feelings. Don't go into the game thinking anything. That's one thing. You can't really ponder too much about what you're going to do because it all changes to shit when you get out there. Like, I tried to do that. I tried to go, yeah, this is what I'm going to do. You know, that don't mean crap. It don't mean crap.
It all goes out the window once you get out there on that island and you meet the different people that you're on there with and the different personalities and everything that you have to deal with.
Time to play Survivor, your nuts drop. And if you ain't got nuts in your girl, they drop steel. It don't matter.
Yeah, I can see where plans don't hold up long.
Well, I can tell you something else. Next time there's a oil rig that catches on fire out there in the ocean and you don't call us and tell us you're safe, then me and you're going to have words.
Because we worry to death about you every day, honey.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man.
It's like a cold.
My daddy's actually out there right now, man. I hate seeing him go out there. It's probably one of the saddest things that I have to deal with as a young man in my life. It's most people don't, you know, see the danger in it or see anything, but I called my dad today and he said he had to go build tow. That's one of the most dangerous things in the world to go do. You're out on the fucking water and you're talking about water in the middle of the freaking river that's running fast, and you've got to move 50,000 barrels of barges, two strung out barges attached with cables and soft lines, and you got to put them together with a radio in your hands with a retarded old man in the wheelhouse moving those pieces of equipment. And all you, and that's all you have is you and that radio. That's it. And there's been a lot of occasions. There was actually an occasion here about a year ago. A father was the captain of the boat, and his son was the deckhand. And like my dad, his son walked to the edge of the barge to go build tow to make up to, I'm acting like you guys know what all this stuff is, but I'm just going to keep going anyway. Well, he pushes this half a football field of barge up to this other barge, and they both got 50,000 barrels of, or excuse me, 30,000 barrels of crude oil, what have you. Well, his son falls in the water when it bumps. It's like, just imagine a car wreck, but with like 10 semi trucks. He falls off the edge and he kills his own son on accident.
Oh my gosh.
So situations like that, you could fall inside of a
people are like, you know, common sense, you know, this not. It's really not
like that. Every day that I'm out there, I pray, I make sure that, you know, I got my guardian angels with me because I don't like it, guys. I'm going to tell you this much. I'm a fifth-generation tankerman, five generations before. I'm the fifth generation that's been doing this. All my family's out on the water. This is what we've done before Survivor and before years and years and years. And, you know, it sucks. I don't want my son's never going to have to do that. Never.
Don't say never.
Well, I don't ever want him to, let me tell you that much. Because,
I see what you're saying. My dad said I'll never have to do that.
I'm a coal miner, and it's all in my family. Don't say never.
Yeah. It's good money, guys. I can't complain. It's real good money, but it's not worth it. I'm away from my family. I work a 28 and 14 schedule, so I'm gone for 28 days. I come home for 14, and I go for another 28 days. So if you do the math, it's 365 days in a year. It's not a good life. It really isn't. It's not healthy for a relationship, for your children. My son is the worst feeling in the world that a dad could ever have for me is when my son packs his bags and says, Dad, I'm packing like you're doing, and thinks that he can come out there with me and spend time with me on the boat.
That's tough, man.
Just to find out that Dad's going to have to leave him at the door. And I give mad props to any of our troops, anybody who has to do way more than I could ever imagine doing, that mad props, you know, props.
You know you're a star, and you know when there's an accident out there that you need to be letting some of us know, because there's a lot of fans that worry about you.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind.
And not just that, but you got two hearts in Kentucky that love you to death.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate that, you know.
And like I've said all along is
Mary was about to
cry. I would have been on your side over Phillips any day.
Yeah, oh, I appreciate it. But,
and you've got a few here in Missouri, too.
Oh, thank you.
Listen, guys, I'm going to have to step away. Brandon, it was great hearing from you. We're going to get to hear again from you next week.
Absolutely, man.
That's awesome, man. It's great having you on here, man. And I'm looking forward to watching you. Dave, Mary, thanks for being on the show. Y'all are awesome. I don't know anybody knows any more about reality TV than you two. I mean, it's awesome. And Paul and Terry, y'all have a good night. It's been great talking to y'all, okay?
Thank you so much for joining us.
Put some lotion on your hands before they crack.
Oh, David. Barbara,
I don't
thank
get
you
what
so
that
much.
Means.
I'm sorry we didn't get to
it's
hear more of your opinion
hands.
Last night's show.
Okay.
But we will talk more next week. And
okay.
Thank you again. You have a wonderful night.
All right. Bye-bye.
Take care, hon.
Hey, I want to apologize. I thought my mic was muted, but I was actually watching the most recent version of Enhanced there, Brandon. I'm going to put the link in. Huh?
Yeah, y'all start putting y'all's links up, man. I mean, do what you do. I'll start on this next Enhanced. I'll make sure to put in a link for you guys
at the end of this show, at the end of the YouTube. I'll definitely.
He just put up a link.
I appreciate that. No, what he's saying, Jerry, is he'll do a little advertising on his next episode.
Yeah,
I just love seeing your wife at the start and then your dad sitting in your lap. And what a great family we saw. And you, boy, when you're in that family atmosphere, you are just, you see all the love coming out of you, Brandon. It was neat to watch.
Yeah, thanks,
Brandon.
I appreciate it. What's
something
up?
That Paul has mentioned, and I have too, many times on this show, and we have talked about it quite often, is your sense of humor. And we are so sad that we're not seeing that on Survivor, because you have such an amazing sense of humor, and we don't get to see much of that on Survivor, and I don't know if they're editing it out or if you just didn't cut up a lot. You were more serious on the island, but You have such an amazing sense of humor, and we were hoping to get to see a lot of that on the show, and I don't know if they're just editing a lot of that out, or, as I said, if you were just more serious out there than you are when you join us on the show.
When he said it earlier, he said that he's played the game before. He's learned a lesson, you know. He's coming out this time not to be betrayed. Right, Brandon?
That's right. You know, she's exactly right.
But I just wish everybody in this world could know you like I do, like Cherry does, yes, like we all do. You have the biggest heart. And just your story about going out on the golf, you know, and your family, just that should prove to anybody that you are a family man.
Absolutely.
And nobody should go on Survivor just for TV. You go to win $1 million.
You go for your family.
That's right. Like I said this last episode, I'm doing this for my little ones. Anything I do from here on out in my life is not going to just be for Brandon anymore. I got a wife and kids that I got to take care of. That are my responsibility. So, you know, that's pretty much it, man.
But, well, I appreciate you calling in tonight.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah,
we
I'm
all do.
Say, speaking of the family.
And I think it's pretty cool that we learned something new about you, because you're pretty awesome, and you make me even love you more today.
Yes,
Cherry, thanks for giving us this opportunity.
Thank you guys for calling in. We've enjoyed every moment of it, and we hope that you'll do it again as often as you will. We will pick up that call and have you on the show. We love hearing from you. We want to hear more from you all the time. Brandon,
yes,
you know you're always welcome here. Always welcome.
Wait a minute. Brandon, we can barely hear you. What were you trying to say?
No, you guys will have me every week. I want to keep everything real, you know, real on a, obviously, a professional level as far as, you know, just with the contractual things with CBS and everything everybody knows about. It's not a big secret. I can't say things that, you know, aren't exactly what happened, and, you know, it may be vague, but it's you know, I'd like to be on the show, so.
Thank you, Brandon.
We'd love to have you.
And you tell your wife that we're so thankful that you give us an hour of your time. You're pretty amazing. And Cherry, called me because I told him that I'd call him about 10-15 minutes after. He was so excited that he called me, and I just went ahead and called.
He's talked longer than he has.
It just shows what a man he is.
I certainly agree. We're happy.
I got to jump off of here.
Yeah, you have
okay, Brandon.
Take care
thank
of
you
your family.
So much.
Yes, hey, wife and kids, hello.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir.
Take
care
of those
babies. Don't call me, ma'am.
First.
I won't answer your phone call.
Go put
Brandon, you take care.
Love you, Brandon.
Love y'all. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Take care, hon. Love you. Bye-bye. What a sweetheart. I am so glad that you guys called in with him. You know,
he's our man. He's amazing.
He does get a bad rap, and it's so unfair that so oftentimes people compare him to other family members, and you can't do that. He's his own person, and he's not Russell. He's not Sean. He's not Willie. He's Brandon, and you can't compare any of them. He is his own person, and he's finding his own way in life, and he's doing for his own family, and I don't like it when people compare him to Russell or compare him to, you know, anyone else. He, you know, he needs to be who he is and let him develop into his own person. And it seems like CBS is, you know, as guilty as anybody else in trying to sort of mold him into one of those characters. And I just want him to be able to be himself. And Mary and David, you've been around him. I've been around him. We know that he's a great kid, and when he, like he said, when he gets shoved against the wall and he feels cornered, of course, you know, he's going to
retaliate.
Right.
You know?
He's not going to, you know, just back down. But if you just meet him and are around him for who he is, he's a great kid, and he's got a lot going for him. He's, as Travis said, you know, he's a very religious guy. He thinks so much of his family. He really wants to be a great provider. He wouldn't go out there and work his butt off on those boats if he wasn't. And he just has such a hard time and a tough road to hoe, so to speak, by having the comparisons always following him around. And
like last year with the Stampede, him and his dad drove 18 hours for charity, you know?
I know.
How many people?
I was there.
How many people? I know reality. I can get people to fly in on their own. How many people will drive 18 hours just for charity? And then willing to do it again and again.
Speaking of charity, we got to get people to your Reality Rally donation page, David and Mary.
Yeah, I've tried, but I would love to go to Temecula, you know. But I'm just not somebody who's going to beg somebody. Yes, I would love to go.
I will be, when the show's over, I will be putting a donation in for sure.
Thank you.
And maybe that'll start it flowing. So how much longer is it, like, before the donation closes?
I think not very much longer.
Okay.
I think less than a week, but I'm not for sure. But
well,
I do know without Urban Stampede, it's coming up, and the Hance boys are going to be here.
All four of them.
And
when is
Mary,
the date?
We'd love to have you again. The dates are May 30th for Reality, May 31st for Fans. The race itself is June 1st in downtown Louisville. And you see,
oh my gosh.
It's a hard race, but it's well worth it. And everybody,
we all know that June 1st is my mom's birthday.
No. Okay, and then we're having a new Stampede this year because we have the Mud Run, the Mud Stampede 2 weeks before that, May 14th, the Urban Stampede, which I'm bringing Reality people in for, that happens on June 1st.
But for all you fans
out
there,
and then we're having David Chush, and then we're having a Zombie Stampede in October. So everybody get their dead walkers on, and we could go out haunting the streets of Louisville ourselves.
But for all you fans that want to be on Survivor and meet survivors, or want to be on a race and want to feel of a little bit of a taste of the race, then come on out to Louisville and try it out. It's for charity. I mean, you're going to have fun. You're going to get a hang out with all of us, and you're going to get a help of charity at the same time.
And that's not going to matter when you got those Hance boys.
Well, are you still, will it still be going to support autism?
I think that we're still doing FEAT, Families Educated in Autism Treatment.
That's
and I'm
awesome.
Hoping this year we're able to give back a whole lot more. Because last
that's
year was
wonderful.
Just their starting point. But,
that's
you know,
wonderful.
I just love the fact that you let us bring in Brandon and give his side of the story, and I just want America to see what me and you know. He's an amazing guy.
He is.
I don't judge anybody by what they do on this island, because I don't know what in the world I'd be doing if I was a favorite with the favorites they picked. I mean, gosh.
Well, we've met so many survivors in our life that there's a lot of them. You know, we might not have liked them on the show, but when you met them in real life, you're like, man, they're just so awesome. And then
there's others that you love.
Yeah, there's other ones you loved on the show.
But then you meet them, and they're like so full of themselves.
So, I mean, it's I reckon we've got our own little take on that. But from what we gather, that's about how it is. A lot of times the ones that's, you know, that's given to bad edits or they're, you know, out early or whatever. Like Brandon was saying, Francesca, she's probably got the biggest heart and is really an awesome person. But, you know, you'll never know because, to me, somebody like Philip, who's trying to be Rob, is running the island, you know. So, I mean, until you meet us reality stars, don't really give them an edit, you know. Don't give them a bad name until you meet us. I mean, there's probably a lot of people hate me, but until you meet me, you don't know if you hate me or not.
That's so true. We've learned on this show that there's no truer words ever spoken than to wait until after the show and find out who the person is in their real life before you pass judgment, because we have met so many who were not their, you know, their true selves on the show. It's such a different set of circumstances than their real lives. They have the camera on them, like on Survivor, mostly 24/7, but on Big Brother, it is 24/7. They're around people.
That's what I remember with Rad Ron.
Yeah, I mean,
that's what he taught me, because I am such a huge Big Brother fan that I say Big Brother is the most real reality show out there, because they can't fool me.
Right.
I watch them 24/7. I watch them on Showtime to get a bigger screen, you know, and I would have these opinions about people, and Rad Ron said, Mary, they're not the same. I said, Ron, I watch these people all day long, and he's proved to me that he was right.
That's right, and I learned the same thing from Ron. And
yeah,
they've had everything that they've ever known in their lives taken away from them. They don't have their family, their friends, their social media, their pets, their, you know, anything that they've had in their real lives. Everything has been taken from them. Everything. And they've been put into a house with total strangers that they've never met before, you know, ever spoken a word to before. And they don't know how they're going to get along with these people, but they know they're in a competition with them for, you know, a whole lot of money. And they're on film. They have all these cameras pointed at them 24/7 while they're doing it. And then they have to go through all these competitions on camera. I mean, that's a lot of stress. And you put somebody in a pressure cooker like that with that much stress, nobody knows how they will react under that much stress until you're actually in it. And some people react differently than you expect that you will. You may think that you can go in and handle that kind of stress in this way. But when you actually get in that hot soup, you react a different way because of, you know, all the personalities around you and the pressure that you're under. You react a different way. And you just don't know how you're going to react under all of that stress. And when they come out and they are once again in their own world, then they go back to being who they really are, and you can then see who they, you know, what they're really like. And you see, oh my gosh, they really are a cool person. But when they were in the Big Brother house, they were under all that stress, and maybe they reacted in such a way that you didn't care for them. But when they went back home and they had all their comforts of home around them again, their family, their friends, they went back to being themselves, and you realize that person is really cool. You know, you just don't know how people are going to react under pressure, and sometimes it isn't pretty, but there's a reason for it. You know, we don't know how we would react under all that pressure either until you're there under it. And Ron taught me that you have to wait and see what they're like after the show and then judge them, because that's just not who they are when they're in that pressure cooker under all of that stress. And so giving them the opportunity to come on the show and talk to us after the show is, that's the time when you can find out what they're really like and who they really are. And we've learned that so many of these people are just wonderful people.
And you know, tonight we just started with Kara Moen. We got Brandon on board. I'm sure we can get others.
Yeah.
Brandon's willing to call in anytime. I can get some
God bless
of
you
Brandon
guys.
Too, honey.
I just
Because I
want
to talk to these people too.
Well,
not
can I say something
all.
About Survivor last night? It was, to me, it was one of the game changers and one of the, I ain't going to say the biggest move in Survivor, but it was a big, bold move by Laura to call out Reynolds with that immunity idol.
It sure was. I mean, she said
she's a little
before she went there.
She's a little old blonde chick who, you know, she's so frail.
I respect
I'm so
her.
Proud of her.
I hope she goes all the way. That, I mean, most people wouldn't even said nothing. They would have waited till they got
or
back to camp.
Or just told their own tribe.
Yeah, they would have waited till they got back to camp and just told
alliance.
A couple people and told a couple alliances. She at tribal council you could tell she was a woman who didn't want to call out Reynolds' name, but she looked at him. So she still told it.
And I love the way it showed Reynolds and his face is all red and flustery and like little sweat beads on it all of a sudden.
To me, it's the biggest move
cool.
so far. I can't wait to see more of her.
I was so proud of her. I wished I could meet her.
She let Jeff Probst do the calling out for her. All she had to do was look at him.
Yeah.
And Jeff Probst did the rest for her.
Gotta give props to Jeff again. He is one amazing host of that show. He picks up on everything.
He does, and he will definitely call out what he sees and have no qualms about it. He gets the information he's looking for. Any way he needs to do it, he will get it. And he asked her a question. She didn't want to give the full answer, but she cut her eyes over at Reynolds, and she said, well, I'm not going to call out the name. But she looked at him, and he says, and Jeff Probst says, well, you're looking directly at Reynolds. And so, you know, we all knew.
Yeah, I loved it.
He had no choice then but to come clean. And so, you know, he pulled the immunity idol out of his pocket and showed everyone that he did have it. And he said that he was going to play it.
Yeah.
But then when it came down to it, when
he
Jeff Probst said, you know, if anyone has an immunity idol and would like to play it, he shoved it back in his pocket.
That was smart, though, because he knew everybody was going to write his name down because they knew he had it. That was
smart.
The smart
thing would have been handed over to the girl to his.
Well, he didn't know that she was getting voted out.
Yeah, I think at that.
Because I think right now he's the third wheel, you know, in a three alliance situation.
I think at that point,
if he would have been thinking, though, he would have known they're not going to write my name down because they all know I have my idol, so they're going to take whoever's closest to me.
Yeah.
And so I need to pass this over because they're going to target whoever's closest to me. That if he was thinking, he would have realized that.
Well, can I tell my favorite part of last night before we leave?
Sure. I extended the show.
I mean, it was like theatrics upon drama when the blood of Russell all of a sudden came in Brandon's right arm and just traveled up his veins to his left arm like a wave. I thought it might have been biased because I do love the Hance boys, okay? But I just love the way he just did that. I thought, man, if he's not on General Hospital, then they're missing an actor. He was just amazing.
I agree.
Yeah, I loved it.
I think that the girl who is keeping the big jar head in the game.
Sherry.
What's
her name?
Sherry.
Sherry, yes.
I think that she is going to go a long way.
Unless she shows her smarts. You know?
Well, I think she's that much smarter than her.
I think she is very smart in the game.
I think that she's that she knows to carry him along. She knows
because like Bubba and Brandon both said, who's been on the island, you'll want to keep around the strong people. This man might not physically be able to balance on a beam, but yet he tugged that rope like nobody else.
Oh, I ain't saying he ain't a big, strong guy.
Yeah.
But now, I will say one thing, and I don't care if a whole America hears it.
Okay.
If somebody going to be in the military and serve the country, everybody loves you. Don't be a lazy thing, and you know what I mean? Just don't sit there and be lazy. And
maybe he's not. Maybe that's his gameplay, Dave.
Well, then that's no good. If you come in
you
as
can't
a
judge your game.
No,
shut
I'm
up.
Saying if you come in as a veteran or being in a military, you've already got a plus. Everybody's already going to love you because you're serving the country. And he just looks like a lazy, no good person.
I think that's his game play.
I think he's
well, when they said he spent 19 hours sitting in the shelter while they were all out gathering wood and cooking and doing
Lord.
Everything for the, you know, for the camp, that doesn't bode well for the rest of the tribe mates. I mean, to sit in the shelter all day long and do nothing for camp.
Well, he should be the leader. He should be the leader. He should take it.
Okay. I think we're only seeing a glimpse at this point, David. I feel the same way you do now, but there is a possibility, as Mary said, that this could be a strategy. How many times have we watched Survivor when people like him do get quite a ways? First of all, early in the game, he is a physical force that they're going to want to keep in because of the challenges. And Sherry also recognizes that he deflects, you know, attention away from everybody else. She even called him, he's my Philip.
That's why I said she's so smart.
Yep.
She's playing him.
Because it's why in Russell Hance's seasons, two of his three seasons, they took him to the end. He's strong. He's a force to be reckoned with. If you're behind him, he will protect you. But in the end, you can always throw back what everybody didn't like about it. But I would like to see the man change. I'm not saying that I do like his gameplay. I do see that people go out there and play different games.
Yeah.
But I think he can step up his gameplay and make America proud, you know? Because I tend to lean toward him. I kind of like him. But no, I don't like him being lazy. I don't.
He's my worst person on the island right
he's
now.
He's like my teddy bear. And David don't like him. That's why.
No, I was the one don't like him. That's why you think he's your teddy bear.
Yeah,
you want to go against me.
No, okay.
Hey, Tom. He's in the chat.
Tom the North Star.
Yeah, I was laughing at your chat post, Cherry. I think you got something there, girl.
Okay, what'd you chat? I ain't on there.
I said he said there was someone. Well, somebody asked how he made it in Iraq, and I said he said there was someone there to lead the troops. So apparently he needs someone to tell him what to do, but he won't listen to anyone on the island.
Okay.
Oh, I was wanting to say something, but I knew Mary would have got really upset, so I was being quiet. I'm glad somebody in a chat room knows what I'm talking about. Go, Tom.
No, that was me that said that.
Oh, go, Sherry.
No,
I was just saying hi to Tom because he just arrived in the chat room.
Oh, well, we didn't mean to disrupt the show tonight. We just figured that, you know, everybody would love to hear from Brandon.
Absolutely.
I
didn't disrupt
him.
The chat room or the show. You made the show tonight.
But
we're glad to have
I
you
I
bring
knew
in
Brandon
the star.
And just talking to him tonight and listening to what he's got to say, you know.
And we got some
I'm
more fans.
I'm more in his head now than ever because I understand the alliance situation with him and Eric and Francesca, you know.
Yeah.
I understand that more.
I've always loved Dawn. How do you think she's going to come out of this emotional beginning?
I've always loved Dawn.
I don't.
I was not the biggest fan of Cochran, but I will give the man props. He's very smart. But do I think it was smart to vote out Francesca first? Gosh, I would have voted out Philip first. I can't live with that guy.
Well, if I was being on the show twice, like all of them, like all the favorites, and Philip made it that far, he would have been one of my biggest targets to get out first.
But I also want to give props to Eric Reichenbach, being on Fans versus Faves the first season and being a fan. And now he's on the opposite end of the bar. So I would love to talk with Eric to see.
We know Eric.
What's the difference? You know, what is the difference in being a favorite and a fan? That would be so cool.
Well, that, and also he carried him in that swimming. I mean, he was awesome.
Oh, he was.
The swimming, and that's really what got him ahead, because I mean, last year Malcolm was like so. I mean, I love Malcolm. I can't wait to meet him. And he was, you know, every challenge he was winning. And a lot
he
of them, they
dominant
were
dominant in those challenges, right?
And this year, out of two episodes, I can already tell you, Malcolm can't handle Reynolds. So,
well, I'm just telling you, I love they chose Malcolm because it's a little bit of eye candy to look at.
It
wow,
is.
He's gorgeous.
Well, I don't know about all that.
I think that they've held back on what Malcolm's doing because I think I loved Malcolm's game last year.
I love Malcolm. I loved his game last year. But
I
think,
can't wait to see what he's got to come.
I think Reynolds, if they would have been a little faster in the water and give him more times to throw, from watching him, you know, throw the
ring.
Oh my God! Yeah. Well, last week he threw the bean. What's it called?
Beanbags.
Yeah, he threw the beanbags and he dominated. He come back and won.
Right.
And he would have come back and won these right here. I could tell by his throw. I think that they got something to watch out for. But with him having an idol, is he going to make it that far? You know. Plus he's on. You know now. They've really got the advantage with 6-3 and
I think definitely if the favorites lose next week, it's going to be voted him out, but split the vote because they need to flesh out the idol.
Well, I agree with all that.
Yeah,
here's another
go
question. I was just gonna. I noticed Brandon Parker in our chat room brought him up, and we got to see a little bit more of him this week, but what are your thoughts about the bearded guy, Matt?
I like the bearded guy, Matt. I didn't know his name until you just now told me, but buddy, he's pretty cool, ain't he?
I liked him.
I liked his spunk the first night, the fighting with the USMC guy. I mean, he didn't care to say, buddy, I'm building shelter, what are you doing sitting?
I really liked him, but he had me worried last night because he knew he was kind of a swing vote, and I was really afraid that he was going to go with the cool kids. And I was like, you know, it kind of made me lose a little bit of trust in him. I still like him, but I'm worried about him now. I think he's a swish wash.
No, Dave.
Well, but he must have, we didn't see the edit, but he must have come back and talked with Michael, the ball guy. He must have talked with Michael and a couple of the other people, and
yeah,
he was willing to listen and realize that this is a good alliance of six for him to be in. So at least he is flexible enough to know, you know.
And Michael, the bald guy, just because he's bald, but I think his gameplay reminds me of Bunky from Big Brother.
I love Bunky.
I like Michael.
I think Michael can go a long way, too, because he's sitting back. He's not really like making all the big decisions. But when it comes down to it, he's got people on his side to where he can make the important decision at the end.
Well, a smart guy makes the decision, but makes everybody else think they're making the decision.
Yes,
and
yeah.
I think he's doing
good point.
You're blown.
But if it's
I
okay, want to
know.
We need to. Okay, go ahead. Because Vina's getting.
What
asked.
Do you think? What do you think they were thinking when they had just the one girl going down underwater so many times and weren't switching it up like the other team?
They tried to blame it on her. She was the one who that other woman asked her, come on out, let me go. And she wouldn't come out of the water. And you could tell right off the bat she was
And I tried
not
to show
that
David
of a swimmer.
On the other tribe, on the Fave tribe. They weren't coming out of the water. Malcolm would jump
Eric.
I mean, Eric would jump in while the girl's still in the water.
Yeah.
So if any of those girls wanted to help, they'd have jumped in the water, David. So get off your high horse.
Well, no,
they didn't want to get wet.
No, there wasn't no communication there.
Okay.
I think
they stuck it all on one girl, a lot of it. And
I think she stuck it all on herself. She thought that she
could.
Me and
him's at odds about everything.
I think that she thought she was all that, and she wasn't at the swimming part.
Yeah, I just didn't understand why.
Did you think that was
her
fault?
Weren't switching. It wasn't real clear to me whether who made the decision, but it seemed like whosever decision it was, they needed to really switch. And once they saw that the other team was so far ahead, whosever decision it was, that somebody needed to step up and say, we've got to change this and start letting other people go down, and we've got to catch up. And it seemed like nobody stepped up and until the very end to start, really getting them caught up. And finally, at the very end, they did so, but it seemed like it was too little too late. And they did catch up eventually, but they could have really, done a lot more. It just didn't make sense to me that they just had one girl going down, pulling those that wood out for so long.
We've had other survivors on that we've asked how much time they have to strategize, and they really don't have all that much time. So I'm thinking that when they sent those three people out, it was up to those three people that were out there diving to make that decision.
That's me, and I think she was making the decision for the other girls, and they was a follower.
Because the other two girls are the pretty girls, guys.
No.
And she's the middle-aged woman.
I don't even know. I can't tell you all that. I can't even tell you their names.
Y'all.
I don't even know all their names right now. I know certain names. Oh, okay, whatever.
Okay.
But I'm saying I can't understand why the fans have not, on day one, got together and, figured, asked, are you a good swimmer? Are you athletic?
Yeah.
Can you throw? I mean, why wouldn't you figure out your tribe?
That
right.
Is
who
such
has
a
what
great point.
Attributes?
Yes. Why wouldn't
that
you
is
do
such
that?
A great point. Every single survivor involves swimming, involves physical, involved. They haven't had puzzles. Yeah, they did have puzzles. Involves puzzles. They should have all be sitting around in their downtime and figuring out whose strength. I agree. Absolutely.
That's true.
Like Mr. Mack just said, you put the lightest weight people on the raft to make it easier to get them out to the rings and easier to reel them back in.
It don't matter when you got a big Marine that big. It wouldn't have mattered if you put a guy on there who could have swim because you had the big guy to pull it. If they would have just known who was the good swimmer. Because if everybody remembers Eric's season, everybody knows Eric was an awesome swimmer. As soon as it come on, Murray says, I bet Eric's swimming.
So to me, it's not the lightest people because the Faves would have made a mistake if they'd sent Cochran. Obviously, probably one of the lightest, Cochran, and then Brenda. Cochran would admit to anybody he's not the best swimmer.
So don't send him.
So don't send him out there to dive that many feet under. Because you have to be able to swim good to do that.
I'm saying not even on a fan versus fave season. On a normal season, you got different tribes. Whenever you're sitting there first day or two, you're learning everybody's name, you're learning where everybody's from. Why ain't people smart enough to kind of find out, can you swim? Are you good at throwing? Are you good at putting? I just can't understand that part of it because, that lost them the challenge. I'm sure they had somebody who could swim.
It was Miss.
I have to also comment on a funny moment when the tribe showed up for the immunity challenge, and Philip is carrying the banner.
And it falls?
On Brenda. Hit her.
On Corinne, wasn't it?
Yeah, Brenda.
Oh, Brenda?
Yeah.
No.
And then when they said you're getting your first look at the favorite's new tribe, Francesca out, and Michael goes, whoa.
Oh, yeah.
Graves came to play. Vicious.
Cool.
They all knew she had been voted out, you know, first, and there they did it to her again, and they go, whoa, these guys are here to you know.
Yeah, they're here to play. They're here to do whatever it takes.
Like, these guys are here to play. They're just cruel.
Yeah.
She was voted out first on her first season, and to vote her out first on another season, that's just cruel. And that just backed what Brandon had said all along, you know?
Yeah.
If she was voted out first, at least give her a couple days on the island.
I felt really sorry for her. I mean, that had to really sting.
Oh.
She's made history, guys. A lot of people don't make history.
That's true.
So, you know, that's what I'll tell her when I meet her. It's okay. You made
history. That's right.
Nice.
And she seemed to take it in that light, too.
Mary,
she said that she's made the books.
David,
you know,
it's history. Shut up. At least she's in the history books.
She put you in a little ball and throw
you
on the road.
No, she will, and I'm serious. I'm just trying to give her, you know, a light in the tunnel.
Did you watch her throw that guy around?
No, but David, I'm just trying to make things a little bit joyous for her. And, you know, at least she is in survivor history. There is a lot of survivors out there not in history. So now she will be known, in which after she was voted out first last season, a lot of people didn't know who she was, and, you know, this time she is known.
They knew her because of Philip calling Francesca.
Yeah.
But, I have to say, and it happens for almost everybody that gets, the majority of people that I like, at least, that get voted off. I felt really sad when Allie got voted off. She seemed, you know,
I liked her. She was one of my favorites.
I did, too.
Because I didn't like the cool kids. I ain't saying I don't like Reynolds. I kind of like Reynolds.
He did like the cool kids. He just didn't like them coming together.
I didn't like the other two.
The idea of
the firefighter
versus the normal people, you know?
The firefighter, Josh, or whatever his name is. I don't even know the other girl's name. The one who thinks she's all it. And
well, they're all like twins, if you ask me.
No, they ain't, honey.
Those girls all look alike.
The one who thinks she's all it is nowhere near as pretty as Allie or Laura or none of them, but she thinks she's all it. And then the firefighter, I'm beautiful. And it's, buddy, I ain't gay, but daggone, I wouldn't have you with them cheeks the way you're looking and this and that.
He's cute, Dave.
No, he ain't.
Yes, he is.
I ain't going to say what he is.
Yes, he is. But
I'm on the radio.
Make you cool. It's your attitude that makes you cool. And they came in with the wrong attitude.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't just form a group of pretty people and call themselves the cool kids.
Well, I mean, even if you form a group, at the very beginning, if you do got a four-person lineup, you're doing pretty good.
You better get two more.
But you don't let the rest of the tribe know that you got an alliance. You don't seclude yourself from the rest of the tribe. You know what I mean? You don't do that.
Because it puts you in the minority.
Yes.
Yep.
And I'm glad they're there now. I kind of like Reynolds because I think that he's one of the only ones who can.
He was smart enough to go out and find an idol.
Well, he's playing the game, and I think that he can compete with the Malcolm. You know, there ain't a lot who could do that. I like Malcolm, but I'm saying there's some of them favorites I don't like, and I would like for Reynolds and them to win to where the favorites has got to vote them all off.
I still want to know how in the world they found that seat for Cochran to sit in.
I know.
All his.
Me too.
I'm going to have to watch it again,
I told you he was the king. Whenever I seen you sitting in it, I said, they give him the king chair.
Well, you know, like on Facebook, everybody's posting that animal that with the big eyes. I thought was a something else, but it's a Sundra or something like that's what they're calling it.
Yeah.
I thought that was like a semblance of Cochran. I did.
They've always had him in like this, almost like a A throne.
So now
right.
You're going to make me obsess and have to watch it all over again.
I erased it.
Well, I'm gonna
and now they found one that's made out of stone. Before it was made out of wood. It was like a tree that
open
was
it in a tree.
Cut almost amazingly like a throne.
And this one
and
is
now
sitting
they found,
in the shallow part of the water.
Right, of the ocean, and it's made out of stone. And how they found this that
Jerry,
is so
I just,
perfect,
I
just don't
just
get it.
I feel like CBS props put it there. It was almost that
it
perfect.
Has to be. It has to be.
Well,
I mean,
you know, we've been on TV twice, and we see that the edit says a lot.
Yep.
Okay? So that, like Brandon said, they've got him always looking higher than he is. So we'll see if it works out that way, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
how about next week on Survivor when we get to see Brandon's quote, and I wrote it down. I'll pee in the rice. I'll pee in the beans. I'll burn the shelter to the ground.
As much as I'd hate to see it, I would love to see it.
I
love Brandon. I'm going to back him to the day I die.
I kind of know him a little bit, me and Mary do, and he is a Hance. He is a good Hance or a bad Hance. But like he said tonight, you back me up in the corner. He would do it. I really honestly
think he would, Dave.
I honestly think that he would jump off. He would get off the deep end and do it.
I don't think he would.
Yes.
I didn't see that in him.
Oh, yes, he would. You got him mad. And
I think he might get to that point, and then he's going to say, nope. Gotta stay true to me, you know?
And there's a lot of people out here, the nicest people in the world, but you push them in a corner, you push their buttons, and they're going to go crazy and not even know they done it until it's over with. And I really think he would have burned it down and peed on everything and not even realized he'd done it until it was over with.
Well, I'm sure waiting for that. I can't. That is going to be TV, you know? Then Brandon will go down in the history books. So we'll see, because I think that would be cool and know to know this is my friend, guys. Whatever.
Now, if he was...
It's going to be an interesting season. We know that because there is definitely some big personalities.
Put on again.
Well, I would like to... We pretty much talked about last night's episode, but I want to point out, and it's really ramping up, and it looks like we'll be able to get on the internet and see it, but next Wednesday is the premiere of Big Brother Canada.
Thank
and,
you.
Oh, man.
Yes.
One of
I can't
our,
wait.
Do we have to buy the...
It's on the internet.
I
don't
know.
Think it's on our TV. Right, Paul?
It's on the internet.
Yeah.
Not.
Okay, listen.
I'm
right?
saying do we got to buy it like you do Big Brother?
No, this... We will be able to watch the television broadcasts. You know, they have three, like CBS does, there's three episodes a week.
Okay.
As far as, and those are going to be free if they don't shut them down, but there's places like Justin TV. We'll try to put the links in our Rad Reality Show group page here. But there might be a way to watch the live streams as well, and I don't know as of yet whether the method that we'll use will cost anything. That I can't answer yet.
Well,
but
give us a call, Paul, and let us know when you find
okay.
out.
Okay. I do know, though, that Joanne Heaney is a friend of the show, and
she's a friend of ours. We love Canada.
Go Canada.
She is really involved in this and is going to be doing, like, several YouTube live broadcast, and it sounds like they'll even be getting the evicted house guests and all this type of thing.
Wow.
So.
Paul, I have talked to Joanne, and she has agreed to do a segment with us
to cover
Big Brother Canada. So,
I hope she has time.
And she's got such a great accent, don't she, Terry?
Her accent ain't that bad.
Oh, I love it, Dave.
Yeah, but it ain't.
She's got more of
a
Canadian, accent.
I thought it would be worse.
But she will come on and talk to us about
Big Brother Canada. And so we will have a BB Canada reporter covering for us. I'm real excited about that. So we'll cover more of that on Monday on Michelle's Manic Monday show. But, yeah, that's something I'm really excited about. We do have somebody. She's actually going to be there for the first two evictions live.
I saw that. She makes me so jealous.
I know.
You got to look for them, but they're posted in several of the Facebook pages, but the cast has already been revealed. 15 people, and so we get to start getting little tastes of who these people are. So it's ramping up, and I'm getting excited.
Well, you're going to have to call us and send Mary stuff, because I don't know how to get on the computer, but I'll watch it.
Justin TV is... We just had it posted in our chat room that www.justin.tv Big Brother Archive is going to have the feeds and the broadcast. So I can send you that link right away, and
okay.
I'm sure there's others that will be showing it too, but I can send you that one right away.
Yeah, but goodness gracious, you've seen the American shows that's coming up next week.
Hi,
Paul and Cherry.
Hi, Vanna.
Well, she come and grabbed her. She keeps getting on my lap looking at the phone. So I said, tell them hi, but she grabbed her baby dolls and took off.
But, you know,
so
we were big fans of Revolution. And
the Grimm.
The Grimm.
Oh, my Lord.
See how we have time to be people.
I wish they'd put me on a Grimm. That's my favorite show.
But, guys, if it's okay, we need to let you go. We got to get Miss Hannah in bed. And hopefully be able to call in on Bubba's show next week, in which Bubba should stay a little longer, Bubba. And maybe bring in another surprising guest as well as our best friend, Brandon.
No, we got to wait a few weeks to even think about him.
No, I'm just thinking, honey.
No, we'll wait.
Yes. Okay, guys, I'm going to surprise y'all, okay?
No.
Okay.
Shut up. Don't tell me
you're
not my boss. But
Thank you guys so much. Love you both so much. Give all the kids a big hug and... Hugs to both of you. I just love you both so much.
Well, thanks for giving us a smile tonight, because I've had great fun, okay?
You always make me smile.
Hey, you didn't ruin the show. You made the show.
Just,
you brought
whatever.
Our star with
like
us.
That. Don't worry. Don't make a big deal over
it. We didn't get to talk about Survivor.
Yeah, we did after everybody got
off. You are always welcome to join us. Always, always, always. You are welcome anytime. Please know that.
We love y'all, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, thank you so much. Have a great week. Take care.
We watch them all, honey.
Hey.
Yes, Dave. Shut up.
Sunday night.
Well, yeah, Amazing Race. Let us know
Amazing
if Louie
Race,
wants
Sunday night.
Yeah.
If Louie wants us, call us Sunday.
Okay,
right,
okay.
Babe. Love you,
Certainly
guys.
I will. Love you, too.
Love you, too.
Okay.
Take care, honey.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, my gosh. What a great show. And, oh, my gosh, Cherry, I'm caught up with Devil's Ride. Oh, my gosh. Thank you. I want to publicly thank you for persisting and nagging me and telling me I should watch it. So thank you.
You're welcome. I'm glad you're caught up. You've watched the current episode as well?
I have. And it's like, whoa, what's gone on? You know, where's Gypsy? What happened? I mean, yes, I'm invested big time.
It's a very good show. And it does reel you in. You really get involved in that show and sort of feel their passion. And
yep.
I know Rich and I did get involved in that one. And Joe Schmo, I mean, that's another show that
it's
so funny.
Are you up to date now on it?
Yes. And
oh my gosh.
And I am just rolling with laughter on Joe Schmo. I mean, there is nothing else like that show. They just can't, they can't make stuff like that anymore. It's just one of the funniest, most unique reality shows there is out there, and I'm so glad they brought it back.
Poor Carly, though. I mean, how
I know.
Did she realize that, you know, that she was going to freak out and, oh, that
and that's
crazy.
The fun part about it is that, you know, they plan these things so quickly, and they have to be ready at any time for any of these things to backfire and to change the plan. And they have to run out there and, you know, make changes.
Sherry,
and
I know, but let me
dance around things.
Let me interject, because going along with what you're saying right now, do you find yourself sitting there when things go bad, as somebody that's watched so much reality TV, do you sit there and think, you should try this, you know, you should do that?
Yes, of course. Of course you do. You know, because you've watched so many shows, you think of all the different shows you've seen and all the, you know, the different types of possibilities that they could do. And
we would be good in that control room. We would sit there and go,
of course.
Yes.
Of course we would. We've watched so much TV.
Oh, I know.
But yeah, it's fun to watch them have to, you know, change it up and be forced to, you know, make changes midstream and at a moment's notice. And
now, we
not
we
have
see.
Time to, you know, think for days on a storyline. They have to, you know, fly by the seat of their pants, so to speak,
yep,
and
yep.
make changes right now.
I can't wait for Lorenzo Lama to come back, and that's going to be fun.
Oh, he's
and
not happy about that.
And I'm wondering, I know, Chase, you mean?
Yeah, Chase is not happy about that.
And I'm wondering if we're going to see the trophy wife. I've forgotten her name already. If she comes back, they really haven't addressed that recently. But no, that it's coming down to it. There's two more episodes left, and I can't wait to see how it finishes. Thank you, Tom. Wanda. Wanda and Randy up in
Mr. Mac, that's right. I am wearing this hopper out already. Oh, my goodness. I tell you, it's, you know, I thought I was doing good with the old setup I had, and now I've got this, and I'm
and
just recording
def.
More.
And high def.
And high def, yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Well,
I don't know how much more TV I can
people,
watch.
Somebody, Joe, got me started on Making Mr. Right. He stopped watching it, but the finale was, I think, last night. So that show is over with. And I don't think you continue to watch that either, but we've got March 3rd, for those that got into the Amish Mafia, March 3rd is the special that they're going to air, that they promised at the end of this past season. So,
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. It's called, the title of it is called Amish Exorcism.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, and that same day, on March 3rd, I caught this commercial. It looks like it'll be a good one, a new show. Welcome to Myrtle Manor. It's about a Myrtle Beach, South Carolina trailer park.
Oh, my goodness, Paul.
It's on TLC as well.
Welcome to Myrtle Manor.
Yes. A reality series profiling the residents of a trailer park in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. White trash type of thing. I think it's going to be funny.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, who's this? Phil is coming on.
Is that something like akin to Honey Boo Boo?
Oh, I hope not. You see, we got...
Let's bring him on and see how he's doing.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Phil, how are you?
I'm doing well. It sounds as though you are too, honey.
Well, I wish I could say I was, but...
Well, little steps, little steps. It was just the night that we were joking about Joe Schmo, and the night that the urn had the little turd in it. I wanted to tell you about it so bad. And you stopped me and said, no, I haven't got up that far.
I remember. You were wanting to tell me so bad. Yes, you were wanting to tell me so bad. I was like, no, I haven't seen that yet.
I'm glad you're back with your TVs and you've got your hopper going.
Thank you so much.
The turd urn, that was funny. And I have to quickly mention, yes, we do have, the Beards are coming back this next Wednesday, the same night that Big Brother Canada premieres, Duck Dynasty is back.
Mm-hmm. And you remember the Swamp Wars where they were catching the alligators? They, one of the brothers, remember the two white hair with the long scraggly beard brothers? That was old staples on the show, but it was Mitchell and his other brother. But they showed tonight that Mitchell had passed, and they had a little ceremony there. But I hadn't seen that. It's in the new season of the Swamp Wars. But yeah, okay. But no, health-wise, I'm doing a lot better. Just not ready for the snow that's coming in here in Virginia tonight. But
well,
that's all, babe.
All you do is stay indoors.
Yep. I can't slip and slide yet, so I can't even dance yet. So we'll take advantage of the indoors.
Okay. Well, I have an announcement, and I'm going to put this in the chat room, that Twitter name. I am going to work on getting the producer of Joe Schmo on the Rad Reality Show.
Cool.
Now, I can't make any promises, but I'm going to work on it.
Cool.
I just put the Twitter name in the chat room. And because we've had so many people start watching Joe Schmo, the more they hear or he hears from all of us who have started watching the show and let them know that we talk about the show on a weekly basis or even more, and let them know that we want them on the show, maybe we can get them on. So that's why I went ahead and posted his name. And I'm going to try to contact him and see if we can get him to come on the show and talk to us here on the Rad Reality Show. So if anyone
all right,
wants
so
to...
He's, Jerry, he's in the control room. He's kind of the heavyset guy, right?
Right. And he may bring on somebody with him, such as the guy that signs.
Oh, Ken? No, not Ken. What the hell?
I'm forgetting his name right now. But
normally one of us remembers, and now we both forget.
I know. But I'm gonna work on this, and hopefully we may have the producer of Joe Schmo on the Rad Reality Show. I would love to do that. I've been such a big fan of the show for so many years, and we've gotten so many people to watch the show as first-time, watchers of the show this season, and love it now. I would just love to have them come on and talk to us about what it's like to be, you know, sitting there producing that show. So if I can pull it off, I'm going to work my butt off at getting them on and talk to us. And we'll see what happens. So
that'd be great.
Wish me luck.
Luck,
I'll
luck,
do my best.
Wonderful.
We'll see what happens. I can't promise, but I will see what happens. Hopefully we can talk to them. I would love it. So it's about that time. Phil, I am so glad you're feeling better. I am just overjoyed that your surgery went so well and you now have your staples out. How are you feeling?
It's tremendous. 9 years is a long time to deal with something as serious as I actually started out with when I actually crushed my leg. And to be here now is just God's miracle. The love and support I've gotten from so many people online and my whole family and the oh, Lord, I've seen a dozen surgeons and had 7 operations, and to be up and moving and starting to get off some of the pain medication, it's a miracle. And I raise my voice to the Heavenly Father every day. But I thank y'all, man. Y'all are just a pleasure.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I'm so happy for you. I'm so thrilled for you that you're on that road to recovery, and it seems to be a shorter road than we thought it was going to be, and you're doing so well, and it's just a blessing to hear you sound so good. So keep up the good work, stay strong, and just keep making us all smile.
That's right. Hold on.
All right. Thank you, baby.
Good evening,
it's
love.
Been a great night.
Yeah,
we're
baby.
About to close the show.
You
right, take care, Phil. I'm laughing because I will say on air, take care, Vicky.
You came on just as we're closing the show, Vicky. Okay, hon, it's that time. We've got to play around and close the show. We love you all. Thank you to everyone who joined us tonight. It was a fun show with Brandon Hance, Mary, and David Conley, and, of course, our host, Travis Bubba Sampson. We will be here next week, same time, same place. Remember, the chat has changed by an hour. We are at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Mountain Time, 6 p.m. Pacific Time. Remember the hour change. So we'll see you here next week, same place, same time. Here's Ron to close the show. Take care, everyone. Be kind to each other, and God bless.
So thank you guys for stopping in. But I do want to say some other stuff real quick. I was thinking about, like, today, about how much we've had so many people that have been faithful callers to our show. But I thank everyone that has been part of the show and it still is part of the show. But, you know, I want to say thank you to you guys. And the reality of people that, you know, I do this for you guys. And I hope you guys enjoy it. I'm going to go ahead and close it off tonight. And I appreciate everyone.
I'm going to finish off the show with a little music and say to all of my listeners, thank you guys. And thank you all for coming in. God bless you, and thank you for listening to the show. And it was a great one.
Thank you again for being here with us tonight. God bless everyone. Take care. Good night.
Good night, beautiful.